Show. Business Unusual.
Colin Cullis in studio. What is the chemistry of business? It sounds very highfalutin and complicated.
This is something that Simon Sinek, he's sort of an author and an inspirational speaker, he says. Not just motivational, inspirational speaker. And it comes from his second book, which I thought was worth raising because we certainly understand that we're a bag of chemicals and we can identify with things like dopamine and how they operate. And so the notion is to say, well, how well do they operate in businesses, and are businesses properly aligning themselves with how we work? I think you guessed the short answer to that is probably no. So here's a reason why we should. So the second book of his addresses this. The second book is called Leaders Eat Last, Why Some Teams Pull Together and Others Don't. And he refers to these five chemicals. There's obviously many more, but he isolates these five chemicals that have an effect on our body, our physiology, very, very central to our functioning, because we're social animals and we use these chemicals to help regulate relationships, etc. And that if businesses capitalize on it, well, they can look forward to growth and sustainability. And if they don't, which maybe many of them, you know, should do more about, they can look forward to pretty bad toxic environments. So the first one he refers to are endorphins. And they're there to sort of help us mask physical pain. If you've been attacked or injured trying to escape from something, then endorphins allow you not to feel that. Modern day times, you probably see that typically on a sports field. When people are sort of smashing each other up during a rugby match, they sort of, I'll play on, because they're just not going to feel the pain. However, if we didn't have those endorphins, and let's say you had a small injury while trying to escape, I don't know, from a crazy dog or something, and it just felt overwhelming. You just sit there, oh no, I can't do this, and you potentially could die from a very small injury. Now, in a business setting, the notions of the no pain, no gain, you know, making sure you absorb a little bit of stress and pressure and work late hours to get something done, is in itself a reward. It's great on completing something, and it's good for the group. But businesses sometimes keep us into those sustained notions where the endorphins need to constantly cover for something not working well, or don't address it, kind of leaving something to fester and making a small problem that could have been addressed turn into a much bigger one. Then there's dopamine, and this is kind of a 50-50 one, because for the most part, it's the essence of our pleasure. It's principally activated or activates our neurons, and it gives us a sense of pleasure and reward. Those rewards, though, don't always have to be positive rewards. And the sort of thing is, if you complete something, you get a bit of dopamine. If you win something, you get a bit of dopamine. And the challenge is, you know, winning something, for example, gambling, that's the same pathway. And, you know, gambling is not something that you can control. So you want the feeling of a win, but you know you can't control how to do it. And in a business environment, perhaps, you know, hitting a sales target or completing a project, doing something like this, signing up a new client, that'll give you a dopamine hit. But if you really, really want those hits, you may be tempted to go and use paths that are not, shall we say, as ethical as you should. And there's probably a couple of auditing firms are saying, hey, let's just do this thing, because they really wanted that dopamine hit. And the guilt you might feel for doing something wrong kind of does get washed away a little bit in the euphoria that that dopamine can give us. And he does make a little side note here about things like social media, in that getting a new follow or a like or a comment onto something we post there is a dopamine hit. And if we don't manage how and what we're getting them for, we could become kind of addicted to the wrong elements of it. The next one is serotonin. And those first two are kind of things that we can do on our own. He kind of refers to them as sort of selfish chemicals. And these next two, he says, are more sort of social chemicals. So serotonin is the one that allows us to get feelings of happiness and contentment. And that sounds wonderful. The crazy thing is, it principally works on our digestive system. And it regulates our moods, our appetite, and our sleep. And effectively, when we have a provision of food, and we can feel some physical safety and social acceptance in our environment, then we sense that effect of serotonin. It's a sense of pride and loyalty and fulfillment. And now that would be great in a work environment. You think, okay, well, go for it, businesses. Give people lots of that. But the problem in business is it's scarcity. We don't provide enough safety. We don't give enough reward for loyalty or create contentment and fulfillment. And so looking to find ways to stimulate that in businesses will be the great one. And the absence of it, when people feel threatened and they don't feel safe, they're not likely to sort of help others. They don't feel, they're not trusting of others. And rather than a good environment, you've got an acrimonious one, pretty toxic one, and people don't want to sort of help. The fourth one is oxytocin, and it's principally responsible for our behavior and responses relating to reproduction and child rearing, which you might think, well, that's got nothing to do with business, surely. But it has an impact on us, and it nurtures our willingness to protect and to create social cohesion. And that's obviously quite significant in business. And so when we do things for the benefit of others, we get a hit of oxytocin, even though you sometimes think, but there's no benefit to me. And some research even indicates that when you simply see someone doing a selfless act for somebody else, you get a hit of oxytocin. You feel drawn to that group, and by doing these actions, the group feels drawn to you. Again,
How do we apply this then in the work context? Can we inject these chemicals into the business environment?
Yes, you can. And it starts by simply saying, well, review what the current situation in your business is. And the first one he kind of alludes to is the safety. Create a safe environment where people don't have to watch their backs the whole time, but that they feel that they are being supported. And they talk about this being from the top down. So a CEO's job is not making shareholders happy, and it's not ensuring profits are done or creating clients. His job is to make his executive team feel safe and valued and allow them to do their job. And their jobs is to make their teams feel safe and valued and allow them to do their jobs. And then trust that, you know, people know what to do for their jobs and know how to potentially achieve a target once it's set for them. So do that. Let them do that. When you remove the safety, it sort of disappears from everywhere. And he makes a point about airlines, and some of the US airlines have had quite a lot of this lately. If somebody dealing with a member of the public isn't feeling very safe in their job, they're only going to do what the job requires. They're not going to step outside of the bounds of the rules, because that put them in harm's way, and they don't want to be in harm's way. Now, you're not going to, you know, build trust and get more people wanting to work with you as a business if your employees are sort of guaranteeing they're only going to do the absolute minimum. And so it's seemingly quite simple to start applying this if you simply start with saying removing the things that are causing problem. And his final one here is cortisol. Again, a very, powerful and useful chemical for us. It's the one that helps us monitor our fight and flight responses. So it effectively is part of the adrenal system. And when you need it, it will shut off non-essential things and put more sort of efforts into your muscular tone and your ability to escape. The catch is, when you sustain the levels of cortisol in your body, you effectively are dealing with stress. And again, in work environments where you don't make people feel safe, they feel threat, they feel like they're somehow under attack, those cortisol levels persist. And the truth about it is, it's not just bad for you, it will kill you, because in effect, the action of cortisol is to suspend growth and healing in the body, to suppress the immune system and drastically slow digestion. Now, when you take cortisol on a sustained level, and that's why I say start with a safety thing, then you create a perfect storm about all the other elements that serotonin, dopamine, oxytocin, etc. can provide. And rather than creating this environment where people are going to feel happy and keen to come to work and do their best work for you, you're creating the exact opposite environment. And that's pretty much where he gets to and what he's talking about it.
It's so interesting. I mean, for anybody who skipped their science lessons at school because they thought, well, I'm never going to mix chemicals, actually, it becomes part of your everyday work life. If you understand the chemical makeup of the human body, you can run a more effective work environment.
Yeah, because, you know, there's one thing to talk about management theory, and they tend to come in and out of sort of vogue all the time. But this is actual chemistry. This is just how biologically humans function. And so using that as a base and tailoring it to your own business, not to say every business has to fit for the same one, but I think it is very fair to say that toxic environments we can understand are not useful for humans. And so if you simply start taking some steps to try and make the environment where you having your staff work, and you know, last week we were looking at where is that place, and it doesn't matter where that place is, because if the environment you create is toxic, then it simply will make people move away from you. And right now you want to be moving people towards you, fostering stress to make sure you can survive things coming with the fourth industrial revolution.
Colin Cullis, our Business Unusual correspondent. We've had that sort of thrust going through the show this evening. Always good. Colin Cullis, thank you for making us think.